The Holy Gospel this day according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And the father divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to the father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field. The older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' The older brother was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. So on our Lenten journey to the cross, we have looked at Jesus being tempted. We have seen that he has had great sorrow, great anguish for the people of Jerusalem and for us. And as he goes toward the cross, to grant us forgiveness and salvation, he wants all people to repent, to turn away from their evil doings. And so Jesus does what he is accused of. He welcomes sinners. He eats with them. Aren't you thankful? In our reading today from Luke 15, and you can join with me on that one and look that up either in your bulletin or in your Bible there. In that reading, Jesus is speaking to the tax collectors. He's speaking to the sinners. He's speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who grumble. And then just as Jesus gets rolling, they say, "Here he is, that man who welcomes the sinners and eats with them. So what does Jesus do? He tells one of those stories, doesn't he? We see it from Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said, 'I wish you were dead. Give me my money now.'" What's that? J.C. Wentworth? "I need my money and I need it now." And that's what the son says in essence. "Father, give me my share of the estate." And the father said, "No! That's not correct, is it?" The father said, "Sure, pretend I'm dead. Here's your money." And he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. In that time, you didn't have a 401k, and you couldn't 800 number and get it out real quick and wire transfer it over and get it right into your PNC account right away. So he had to sell some stuff, some cows and some sheep and whatnot, maybe a little bit of land. But this younger son gathered all that he had that was given to him from the father. He sets off for a distant country, and there he puts it into a savings account and mutual funds, and it gathers great wealth, and wonderful things happen, and no. He squanders it! I won't ask you if you've squandered anything. I already know the answer. He squandered all he had. It's a weird word, isn't it? Squandered. He just went through it all. You've seen, I don't have this kind of money to do this, but you've seen they make it rain. He was making it rain with his money. Wild living. Fast cars. Maybe fast donkeys. Fast women. Eating. Drinking, being merry all the time. That kid squandered the gifts that he had been given from the father. Well, after he spent everything, there was then a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. He should have put a little bit into one of those 401ks, a little bit of savings, but he began to be in need. So the man went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, not even his father anymore, probably shunned in the land where he was. But he went out to a citizen of that country who sent him out into the fields, "Go way out there and feed my pigs." And speaking of grumble, and you guys know it as you have the morning wear on, don't you? The stomach starts to grumble. Well, here, the young son, his stomach grumbles. And he wants to fill his stomach with the yucky pig food. It's like not good dog food. If you've had dog food, you know what I mean. He wants to feed himself with the pods that the pigs were eating. And pigs will eat at just about anything, so there could have been just slop. But he wants some of the slop. But no one gave him anything. This is an interesting statement. When he came to his senses, that's some sort of an epiphany. I'm not sure if this is the Holy Spirit saying, "Go back." But when the young son came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death trying to eat pig food. I'm going to go back and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he's not even close, he's a long way off, his father saw him. The father was filled with compassion for the son." And this is interesting and powerful. He runs to the son. In this culture, in this time, You don't have Nike and Adidas. You don't run. You don't have a Fitbit. It's not distinguished to run. But the Father runs to His Son. He throws His arms around Him, kisses Him, welcomes Him back. The Son says to Him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the Father said to His servants, "Quick, bring the best robe. You know, the kingly looking one. Put it on Him. Put a ring back on His finger to show that He's got the signet of the family. And give Him the beautiful sandals. Don't bring some chicken nuggets, but bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate." Peggy, where's your little thing? And we have unicorn party hats. And we're going to celebrate. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, he is found, and let's begin to celebrate." And then there's that word. I love this word. It's so ominous. Meanwhile, out in the fields is the older brother. And when the older brother came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "Hey, what's going on in there?" "Duke and Michigan State are playing today." "Your brother has come," the father says, the servant says, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." Isn't that wonderful? Your brother's back. The boy's back in town. So the other brother became angry. The other older brother refused to go in. His father went out and pleaded with him, "Son." But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. Come on, man, you didn't even take me to Chick-fil-A. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you give him the best. You kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And so they party. They celebrate. They're in a time of wonderful family togetherness. The father welcomed back a sinner, didn't he? The father gave deliverance to the son from the squandering ways, from the squalor. What do you get from this story? You've heard it 5,000 times. What do you get from this story? The story we call the parable of the prodigal son, which we said in Bible class should really probably be called the parable of the forgiving father. What do you get from this story?
God's love never goes away.
God's love never goes away. He is forgiving. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is caring. He's there for those all the time. He's waiting. But beyond waiting, he's running to gather you in. He is loving, and we can trust him. He's faithful. Now, we hear that he's welcoming. We know that Jesus welcomes all, but we have to also remember that that word and the actions that go with it of repent still applies. Some of us may think, well, we're church members and we can just come and do whatever we want still because we'll get forgiveness at the end of the day, but that's not exactly how it works. You're not to go against the word of the Lord. You're still supposed to honor. You're still supposed to be a child of God. And you can be who you are, whatever way you are. But still, as a child of God, you're to follow the word. If change is needed, change is to take place. And so that's what happens with the prodigal son. Prodigal, meaning he's reckless, he's lavish, he's wastefully extravagant. And he does say, I've sinned against heaven and against you, Father. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, I kind of picture this in this statement, where the son is kind of doing the, I'm sorry, like when the parent says, tell your little brother you're sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. And in a sense, that's what the young son does. And yet, the father takes him in. The father takes him in gladly. And there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. This story is important for us that it's not the story so much about the sons. Both of them truly are sinners, though, aren't they? One ran off and figured out, oh, this is wrong. I got to come back. The other one stayed and was jealous, mad. You never gave me anything, Dad. This is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. You've been here, you've heard the story, but you need a little bit of change. And you need to come back to the Father, who's caring and loving and compassionate. This story, again, is not so much about the brothers. It's not so much about us, but it is indeed about the loving, caring, compassionate one. It's always about him, isn't it? Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is always with us. He always cares. He always runs for us to gather us back in and put the robe back on us and say, you're righteous. You're part of my family. You've got the ring showing that you're part of the family. You've got the beautiful shoes showing that you're in. He is loving and faithful. And so, too, the son is faithful. The son goes to the pig pits for us. And he takes our sin even to a dirty cross. Dying for us, rising to life for us, even as we're in our dirt and our filth. And so we need this loving, caring, compassionate one. We need a shepherd, and we turn. We're changed by the Father's love, and we go toward the Savior and jump into his loving arms, and he has been waiting for us and even running for us and says, hey, you are going to be with me. You're a part of the family again. And heaven has a great celebration for this lost sheep that comes home when the lost son or daughter comes home and returns when Jesus finds his lost one. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for welcoming back the lost one. Thank you for welcoming sinners. Thank you for eating with us. Thank you for the celebration feast that comes through you, Lord, and through your Son. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a celebration we partake in on an ongoing basis, the celebration at the table where we are in a forever, continuous relationship with one another as we come to the table, and of course, with God the Father as we partake of God the Son, receiving such powerful love, such powerful forgiveness, such strengthening of our faith to change our journey and not go back to the prostitutes and pig pits, but to go the heavenly route. So as we journey to the cross, let us learn from the faithful triune God. Jesus, our loving and saving brother, the Heavenly Father, who is compassionate and merciful, and the Spirit who leads us as we too are welcoming to other people, even as they are different from us, and we share the forever, forever kingdom of grace. Peace, love, grace, faith, and hope be yours, O sinner, as you have a repentant heart through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May all glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.